Hare Krishna. A very good morning to all of you. It seemed like we were in Mayapur. The kirtan was so ecstatic. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. And today we have a class of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is such a special literature. I am simply a humble student in the path of bhakti, which I'm here in front of all of you to share my very humble realizations. So I forgive if I make any mistakes or if I say anything inadequate, but I'm open to corrections. As Vaisheshika Prabhu says, we live to be corrected. Some of you have caught that. It's an auspicious mantra. We live to be corrected. It's a very important mission. So the verses today, they are two verses. We are reading from Madhya Lila, 8th chapter, and there are two verses. One is number 73, and the one is number 74. And this chapter is describing a very important conversation. Because all the Vedic scriptures, they are based on conversations. Vedic scriptures actually are for the benefit of the humankind. So all these sages, they engage in auspicious conversations to enlighten anyone, everyone who was in front of them. That was the mission of any pure devotee, was simply the benefit of whoever was in front of them. They themselves had no motives other than deliver the pure message of transcendence. And that attractiveness was the thing which made the student hooked. Have you ever experienced that? In front of your spiritual master, a very advanced devotee, and you don't want to go. You just want to stay. Because the atmosphere is so conducive to self-realization. All of a sudden, all your troubles disappear. Have you experienced that? That is the setting of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is the setting of this conversation. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard about this personality called Ramananda? I didn't hear quite right. Ramananda?
Rai.
Can you say his full name?
Ramananda
Rai. All glories to Sri Ramananda Rai. So we read the verse and then we'll say something a little bit. Okay, so verse number 73, there's a Sanskrit which says, I'll say it alone. And it says, by serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful and have such a perfect master? Someone has said this, and the purport illuminates us by saying, this is a statement by the great saintly devotee Jamunacharya, in his Stotra Ratna 43. Jamunacharya was a very special devotee. But he got distracted on the road. He became a king and he forgot all about his duties. And one day he was tricked. A very dear devotee to him brought him in front of the deities. And when he looked at the eyes of the deities, he was completely surrendered. And from that day on, he composed the most beautiful verses. And this is one of them. So Ramananda Roy, he is telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what are the different stages of elevation of consciousness. And he's just quoted this verse, which seems very beautiful. For me, this seems to be so high. I'm looking at it from here upwards. But we'll see what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will say. The next verse, it says like, Mahaprabhu says, Kichu. Kichu means something more, something more. We live in Mayapur for many years and we have sabjiwalas. You know what sabjiwalas is? Vegetable vendors. They come every day to your door and they knock and you say, oh, is it? And you open the door, sabji. And you say, thank you. Potato, thank you. Apples, thank you. Bananas, thank you. So you have to keep saying thank you for every item on his basket. Finally, you say, Kichu lagbe na. I don't need anything else anymore. Please go. And then he's satisfied and he goes. So kichu means something, something little more. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, kichu. Okay, very good, but kichu, say something more. So the verse is going to say, hearing this from Ramananda Roy, the Lord again requested him to go a step further. He says, so Ramananda Roy replied, loving service to Krishna rendered in fraternity is the highest perfection. And there's a purpose here. Prabhupada is helping us to understand this. He's saying, as long as loving service is rendered to the Lord in the master-servant relationship, there is some fear. For the servant is always afraid of the master, despite the intimacy of self-interest. In this stage, the servant is always afraid of the master and respectful of him, to him. Be respectful of him. When the devotee is further advanced, he has nothing to fear. He considers the Lord and himself as on an equal level. At such a time, the devotee is fully convinced that Lord Krishna is a friend and cannot at all be dissatisfied if the devotee lives with him on an equal level. This understanding is called Vrishamba, that is, devoid of a respectful attitude. When this attitude is chosen, it becomes Sakya Prem, or the love of Godhead in friendship. On this stage, there is developed consciousness of equality between the Lord and the devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki? What a beautiful purport, right? Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjanan Chalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, with your heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. We should finish at 8:15. So the kirtan was so ecstatic, he entered into the class, so the class can enter into prasadam, and we fast today, right? We shouldn't do that, because today is a beautiful festival, which is letting out of the cows. And actually the cows have been indoors the whole winter, and today they're going to run out in the fields. And it's a major event connected to this verse. Because now Krishna and his cowherd boys, and Krishna is there behind, he's articulating, organizing with all his friends, how he's going to go out. At what time is it? 9:45. So we're really eating your prasadam time if we go over time. So 9:45 at the Goshala, Krishna, Radha Gokula Nanda, and his sakas are going to be there running with his cows for the first time in spring. So you're all welcome to go there. Sri Ramananda Roy is such an incredible devotee. The Lord heard about him from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he said, you should go there and meet him. Now here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead desiring to meet his devotee. It's described a few verses before, and you have read that, that the Lord, when he saw Ramananda Roy, he mentally was running towards Ramananda Roy to embrace him, but he held himself and waited for the right moment. And when the right moment came, the Lord embraced him in some kind of electric ecstatic exchanges were going between both of them. And the Lord revealed to him what he wanted. Now it's very interesting because we understand best someone when we understand his mission. And the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is told by himself. So when we understand the mission of an institution, of a person, his purpose of life, it's easier to serve that person. So when I look at this Prabhuji, I immediately think, he's a Harinam Prabhu. You know, his saffron robes, his aura, something tells me that his mission is chanting the holy names. Am I correct? So I get a lot of confirmation here in the room, right? And I look around and I see so many missions. Missions of self-realizations. Missions of helping the mission of Srila Prabhupada. I can see stamped on your foreheads your mission statements, your life mission statements. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Adilila 3:14. Now he's telling us, what is his mission? Why did he come? For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me, to himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of material world is useless. So he's saying everybody is here searching for something, but without the pure love of God, life is a waste of energy. And then he goes on to what he's going to do. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, just like we were a few minutes ago, led by these two incredible kirtaniers who were kind of surcharged by this mood of pleasing the Lord. And it's so incredible, because as soon as you do that, you transmit to the whole environment, and everybody feels happy. Did you feel happy? Blissful in the kirtan? Haribo! So let's say a big Haribo for the kirtaniers. Haribo! What is your name, Prabhu? Pulkit. Okay. All glories to Pulkit. Who soon shall have a name just like the Lord. And then he says, Lord Chaitanya is telling us this, I shall accept the role of a devotee and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. Now he's telling us a very important message that unless we take this very seriously, we will not be able to get the fruit. And the fruit is love of God, the rarest fruit on the universe. Being given freely. And then here, on 3:21, he says, unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and Bhagavatam. Now, when the word devotional service is translated in this, the word which is there is dharma. And Prabhupada puts dharma as devotional service. And we're going to speak a little bit about this in a moment. And then he says, therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth. And he appeared in Sri Mayapuram at Yogapit. And perform various colorful pastimes. And he finalizes his mission saying, thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. So he came, and that's his mission. So now we understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing to this conversation. But there's one more verse which I want to read for you, which sets his mood. Okay, so that's his mission. But in what mood do you perform your mission? And the verse goes, Patra patra vichari nahi, nahi istanas, istanas tana. You know this verse? Ye yanha paya, tanha kare premadana. And he says, in distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associate did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. And the mood is the unique characteristics of ISKCON. Because we are all from different walks of life. We come from different places. But we all find there's a space for us here in this room. Don't you feel that? I feel that. I feel like I've known all of you for centuries. And I'm just being introduced to all of you. And that is because the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mood is that we don't consider the candidate. While in India, there's a big consideration. What's your lineage? What's your family? Then I accept you as someone who can propagate the mood of Sankirtan. But Prabhupada, he understood. Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he understood. No. Whenever a candidate is fit to propagate the holy names, he is to be accepted as a genuine representative of the parampara. That's the unique contribution of our mission to the world. So now you understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Roy, he is a very special devotee. He's very advanced. It's described that in drama practices, one of his services was to take oil and put the oils on very young girls' bodies. Now, for any male, that's something that they'll say, I would never even think of such thing. But for him, he was so elevated that that was simply a service. He did not get any affected by that. And he was considered to be in a lower position. Because he was a governor and he took a salary, so he is considered to be on the lower classes in the prestigious line of leaders. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him, very humbly he said, my dear Lord, I'm not worthy of you being so kind or you coming so close to me. I am from a lower background. But by your grace, you are putting the words in my mouth and I'm speaking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose many strategies to reach out the world. And one of them was to very humbly, and that's a thread we all have to take. If we want to be part of the parampara, humility will be a thread which has to be on our japa. It has to connect everything else. Because that's the mood of all the parampara. So if you're not humble, we cannot relate. And in that mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come to tell him, I am God, I'm going to tell you about the Supreme Truth. He didn't say that. He says, I want to hear from you, what is the highest truth? He inquired from someone who's considered lower. So this is a great point in this verse. And Ramananda Roy, as a faithful servant, started explaining. And the first thing he talked about was Varnashram, which we like to talk about many times. And as soon as we start speaking, we have 100 different opinions in the room. And it becomes an insolvable mystery. How are we going to do this? This Varnashram, which Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada wanted so much. And he says, a verse in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no. That's external. Tell me more. And because of that, many devotees have set aside Varnashram, because they understood, oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's external, no need, let it go. But today at 11:30, we have a seminar called Dharma and Agroecology in the Mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there I'm going to explain further what he spoke to responding to this specifically point of Varnashram and the movement of Bhakti and its position. So I won't say anything now about this. Then he went on and he talked about detached action. And Chaitanya says, little more. Knowledge mixed with devotional service. That's very good, but a little more. Finally, the spontaneous, loving service to the Lord. And Chaitanya accepted, okay, that seems to be good, but tell me more. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that unalloyed, pure devotional service, devoid of all kind of speculations, that is one of the goals. But he says, then Ramananda Roy explained about unalloyed devotional service, love of God, serving the Lord in different moods, as a servant, a pure servitude, fraternity, that's where we are. And he moves on to parental love, and then conjugal love. And the topmost teaching of conjugal love is? Parakya. And who is the personality which manifests that? Srimati Radharani herself. So he goes all the way up, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu faints at the last description. And here, at this point, we're describing about fraternity, the Sakya Ras. So I'll say a few words about this, and then we have questions. The very next verse, 75, is telling us that someone who is looking for the truth, impersonal truth, might as well read the verse. It says here, neither those engaged in self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service, while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. So he's saying that it's inconceivable how these souls are now playing in a very equal mood with the Lord. And I'll give you a few examples. In underground, where the Lord lives. Every day, Krishna is going out with the cows. Every single day. And he's only six. So his cowherd boy friends, they are so anxious for Krishna's association that at 1 a.m. they go in. Yashoda Mata, is Krishna awake? And Mother Yashoda gets up. Oh my God. My dear boys, it's 1 a.m., go to bed, it's not time yet. And then like 2 a.m. Yashoda Mata, is it time yet? And Mother said, oh my God, no, it's not time yet, go home. And like this, it goes on until 5 a.m. And naturally, they didn't sleep the whole night in anxiety to see Shishirada Gokulananda Ji Ki. So they're anxious for this darshan. They can't wait for the Lord to appear. And finally, it's time. Mother Yashoda has bathed Krishna. He's put on his paraphernalia, his horn, all the equipments. He's looking very smart. He's going to go out. And when he goes out the door, there's nobody. And he looks, hey, what happened? Where are the boys? So he goes to the house. come on, wake up. It's time for us to go. And Krishna. And then they get up very quickly and everybody rushes and go to the fields. So that's the level of intimacy that this rasa affords. Or to give one more drastic example, someone of this very special associates of Krishna, they are having a picnic. And they say, Krishna, close your eyes. I'm going to give you something very tasty. And then Krishna opened his mouth and he put a flower inside and they start laughing. Ha, Krishna, you fell in the trick again. And like this, they enjoy the beautiful pastimes of Raj. And you see in the seminar how these pastimes actually answers all our ecological problems. We are here thinking, allocating billions of euros and pounds and dollars so we can understand what is the solution to global warming, what is the solution to all these chaotic environmental problems. And they can't get it after decades of debate. And today I'm going to give you a hint in this seminar, if you come. How Krishna showed that, how he sorted out everything. And actually, when you analyze all the scientific knowledge around agroecology and their thought, they're coming to the conclusion that Krishna presented. But Krishna presented in a sutra, and they're trying to get all the chemicals out of that sutra. But there's already good chemical traces. You can trace some of these equations that Krishna is laying out. The equation of the milk nurturing the finer tissues of the brain. There are already scientists working on that. How does that happen? What is the substance behind it? It's called DHA. It's a kind of amino acid, fatty acid, which composes 60%, some say, of your brain tissue. And milk is one of the ingredients which nurture that. So that's one of the secrets that people don't know very much yet, but they're starting to get to know. And in ancient times, the sages, they would go door to door and they'll beg a little milk. And that milk was given to them and they lived on milk. One special sage of this is in Braj. He's very special. Madhavendra Puri, what a great devotee. And he was fasting in Vraj. And then he wanted to see the Lord. His whole goal was to see the Lord. And he's fasting, he's making austerities. And in one of these days, he doesn't know if he's sleeping, if he's awake. And he sees this boy coming to him and says, "Hey Baba, what are you doing?" And he answers, "I'm here, I'm fasting, I'm doing some austerities." "No, no, in this village nobody fasts. We don't let anybody fast here. Just like the manor. I've been here, I've been fed morning until night. Everywhere you go, there's some little prasadam. Mahaprasadam is coming for class and then someone is inviting you. There's prasadam in every corner." That's the beauty of being at the Bhaktivedanta manor. So, Madhavendra Puri, he's thinking, okay. And then he says, "Don't worry. This girl is going to come. She's going to give you some milk. You drink that, right? Don't fast here, please." And then the boy leaves. A little moments after, this very charming young girl comes with a pot. And he says, "Please, take this." And he's looking at the pot, looking at the girl, and then he starts drinking it. When the milk touches his tongue, he's almost unconscious. By the fragrance, the taste, his whole consciousness is changed, and he realizes immediately, "Krishna, you came, and I could not see you." Just like us, sometimes we're here in the temple, Radha Gokulananda is there, and we're chatting on the corner. "Prabhu, did you see that? So nice." Isn't it? Have you had that experience? That you're in the temple room, the Lord is here, all waiting you for you. And we are on the corner saying something more important. So Madhavendra Puri, he was blaming himself. What have I done? I haven't seen the Lord. And he appeared to me. And now he was hankering for that vision again and again. So some of these blueprints of nature are hidden in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's scriptures. And we try to explain some of them. And to finalize, I started saying that we live to be corrected. And on Thursday we talked about Lord Brahma, and he was instructing, and Narada Muni was in doubt about his identity as God, because God now is making penances to understand something. So how come God needs to do penances? So he makes a question. And we talked about a moment when Brahma was confused and he stole Krishna's calves and Krishna's friends. Right? Remember that? Were you here? You're here. No, you're not here. Someone was here. You were not here too. I think Sunday is a more popular day, right? For people come over to class. He was here. I remember talking to him. So Lord Brahma, he gets confused and he cannot understand the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what Ramananda Roy has just said, that someone has to be in a very special position to understand why these boys have such a great fortune. And that position is being given to all of you by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The capacity, the capability of understanding the highest mellows of the spiritual world is being freely distributed to all of us. And we need to take advantage of that. Because that is the highest truth of the whole universe. And if we do take advantage of that, Prabhupada says, it's guaranteed. We all go back home. Go back to Godhead. To enjoy pastimes with Radha Gokulananda. Who knows in what level? But he knows. And whatever level it is, it's perfect. It's a blade of grass. If you're a cow, if you're a cowherd boy, if you're a gopi, whatever position you are, we'll be completely satisfied. Because satisfaction is like a cup or like a thumbnail. When it's full, it's full. It is satisfied. So I think I'll allow some time for questions and interaction, since we have such a noble audience in front of us. If there's any questions, any corrections, you're mostly welcome to do so.
Hare Krishna, thank you for sort of building this up and for this event for the cows. But also, Prabhupada, he was talking once in one of my early first tapes of Prabhupada. He says, simply recreation. And recreation has many meanings. You can recreate, or, you know, there's recreation. But he said, actually, this yoga is simply recreation, because it was a question about the Bhagavad Gita. What is this recreation, you know, that it mentions in Bhagavad Gita? And he said, he answered, what is this? He says, it's simply singing and dancing. So that's our recreation and our recreation that we're trying to recreate in ourselves. He did this wonderful play on words in this answer, which was perfect yoga, perfect yogi. That's a wonderful. It was one of my first lectures that I heard. You know.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you for that reflection, recreation. And actually, that's the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a very interesting program. In Jagannath Puri, his going in the morning for katha and his dancing and singing, and then after that he takes some prasadam, and then he goes into the ocean and has a lovely time with his friends, and then he comes back, takes more prasadam, and then he does kirtan, and then he's massaged, and then again he does kirtan, and again he goes to rest. So it sounds like a program, right? Go to Puri, go to the beach, do Harinam, take Mahaprasadam from Jagannath. Yes, seems like a program. So recreation, definitely. And if you're in the right mood, it's so enjoyable, no? To be here with the devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. Your main service is basically cow protection and helping others to also get connected with cow protection. So my question is, would you say that to deal with Varnashram system, or specifically with sort of Vaishya activity of protecting the cows and protecting the land, does it require a certain specific type of a character within a person? Right, for instance, like that austerity to deal with the land, to have greater vision, to have a long sort of a vision of understanding to facilitate the cows and everything. So would you say the plan to kind of a create sort of Varnashram community like this, does it require rather a specific character cultivation within persons? So rather than tackling the problem of cow protection, tackling the problem of austerities, dedication, simplicity, long-term commitment, and these sort of things.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. It's a very thoughtful comment. Varnashram is mainly about qualities, because that's what defines your varna, is the qualities. So for someone who is happy to be on the land and do heavy work, to be a Brahman is what an austerity. He wakes up early, he's chanting all these mantras, he would never have the patience. But someone who is a Brahman, to go out and be a Kshatriya, oh, how difficult it is to manage everything and manage money and people and power. That's how a Brahman will feel very uncomfortable in that role, even though he could do it for some time, emergency-wise, but it wouldn't satisfy him eventually. So Varnashram is about qualities. And naturally, cow protection, agriculture, are the natural foundation. Because as soon as you go out of the primary economy, your Varnashram system tilts a lot. Because now you have to have a job, and a job implies that you follow your boss, or you are the boss. So if you follow the boss, he's going to offer you a program which you have to adapt. Sometimes it's whatever work comes, so you don't have to come to the office, but whatever work comes, so you suddenly become disturbed. And until you get established in your profession, which might be on your late 40s, 50s, you may have to do a lot of work, which is difficult to do everything you need to develop your qualities. So quality is the point. Where we start is where we keep fighting about. But we should rather focus on developing the qualities of those who are interested in those qualities. So offering an opportunity, that's the secret of Varnashram. Just like I was in a Bhakti Vriksha program and we start talking, and immediately someone says, I'm ready. I want to go to the farm. I want to make the transition. So he was ready. But it doesn't mean that the whole group was ready. But he was. So if there's enough opportunities, these individual persons were ready, they would go. Yesterday I was with a very dear friend of Krishna, because he takes care of his cows daily. It's Madan. He's at the Goshala. He's the most lovely personality. He's very humble. He's very knowledgeable. He is very good with everyone. He's a friend of everyone, basically. And I could see the environment around him, the volunteers, that they love him. I said, yeah, he's great. Because he has absorbed this, the mood that this is a service I do to please Krishna. And I do it because that's what Krishna wants me to do. So you could see the same determination as the pujari who is so beautifully decorating the deity so that our love of God is awakened. Someone there at the Goshala is also similarly doing that. And everybody who works with him is shaking their heads because they know, they've experienced that. So that's what we need for Varnashram to be successful. As soon as you encounter the person, you feel the qualities. Then you surrender to that. And you join as soon as you can. It's clear? Hare Krishna. Maybe you have time for one more question, intervention. Anybody? We're all good? We have one here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I can just share one reflection to the question that Prabhu just asked, because I remember asking a question from the Bhagavad Gita, because in the 18th chapter it describes the qualities and descriptions of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. But for Brahmana and Kshatriya it describes qualities, and for Vaishya and Sudra it describes activities. Mm-hmm. So there was like this distinction, so mm-hmm. I just thought I'd mention that, because I remember asking the question, why for Brahmanas and Kshatriyas is it more about the qualities they have to cultivate, whereas for the other Varnas?
Very good question, very good point. You capture a very important point. When we think of the Varnashram system, we think just like, okay, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, right? But actually, there is kind of two polarities. The Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are on the very fine level. A Brahman basically is a Kshatriya with much less passion. He's got so much sattva that he can endure austerity happily. And a Kshatriya, he needs to get that passion going in order to defend when it's time. So therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj, sometimes his opponent says, I'm not going to fight you, you're too brahminical. But he was a proper Kshatriya. He could fight. So they're very close. And the Vaishyas and the Shudras are very close. But the Vaishya is a very intelligent person. And the reason why the activities are being described rather than the qualities is because when you look at the activities, all the qualities are necessary to do that. How much quality do you need to do banking? You can't just do banking. You give money to somebody, how are you going to get the money back? You're going to take a rifle and says, you pay me or I'm going to kill your head off. That's one way of banking. In New York, in some places of London, in Brazil, in some other places. But you need qualities in order for people to feel comfortable with your banking services. talk about trade. You need to understand the whole market and how to deal with your partner. So you need to be an entrepreneur. Someone yesterday was here, he helps the ministry, and he's a senior CEO of the BlackRock company, which deals with trillions of dollars annually. I think 10 trillion. And he was telling me that the speed which you have to buy something so fast, that's why they make their thing, because they look at the trend and they have to buy it when it's the right moment, because that's the nanosecond that went down and they got it, and then the nanosecond sold it a little higher. So even if the internet is lower, he says, you bought thinking you bought something, it was something else. And then when you see it, what you bought, say, oh my God, what did I do? So how much quality goes into that? And we're just talking of trading. Now go into agriculture. You have to come to the seminar for me to describe all the qualities that it's needed. First of all, you need to understand how nature works. Every farmer is tolerant by nature because he understands he depends on God for rain, for weather. He depends on God. He's there. He put his crops and he's praying. Therefore, the Catholic missions, you see, the processions, praying for God for rain, for good crops. Krishna, his father, Nanda Baba, he's saying, hey, you have to do this yagya for Indra to get good rains. Because the farmer knows that he must depend on God and the natures of law. Now, one thing is talking IT and the logarithm of an IT app, web. Now, talk about the algorithms of nature. Look what's under the earth. How to understand all those intrinsic connections between the roots of the plants, nurturing one another in a community. That is something we need to figure out. How is it that one plant is telling the other, you're lacking nitrogen, we have it there, he's sending it over. Listen, you're on the wrong time of the evolution of plants. We're going to cover you up because it's not your turn, it's my turn to go. Because all of us are going towards a forest. The forest is the matrix of abundance. Every plant knows that. And they have a unified mission. We go for the forest. Doesn't matter if you cut it, if you burn it, the next little plant says, I continue the mission. I'm out here. And whoever has a farm, you clear your land. 3 months later, the whole overgrowth has gone. What is that? The mission of forest. So a farmer has to know that. What crop to put in what season? What are the stars like? And he must, if he's a very, he's a Vedic farmer, then he comes with the cows and he understands what comes out of fertility, abundance from the cows. So that's what you're up for this morning if you come for the seminar. I'm making more propaganda. So I think it's a really important topic that we need to understand. If we don't understand what's under the earth, the Varnashram mission will not flourish. I could say that. Because, of course, Varnashram still values in the city, and if you're a Vaishya in the city, you're still a Vaishya in town, in the countryside. It's not because you're Vaishya that when you come into the city, your Vaishya Varna kind of changed into something different. Now you're something different. Hey, I'm not a Vaishya anymore. What happened? I'm in town. No, it's still there. But the perfect manifestation of it needs that aspect. And we've been traveling extensively in the ministry to all the farms. I've traveled basically all the farms now. And this visit is a specific visit to help out the Goshala. I have some friends here who go to the conferences sometimes, and we work together, trying to bring the whole mission up. And I can tell you there's a lot of advancement, more than you think. It's not being publicized. The growth is grassroots, is developing everywhere. People making communities here, communities there, and starting to protect cows here, farm there, do farming and sankirtan together. There is a group of brahmacharis in Italy. Have you heard about them? They do cow protection and sankirtan. Yeah. So if you go in their barn, half the barn is books and half the barn is hay. I thought it was a perfect combination. And the pizza in Italy, it's a good idea, is made from their own grains, their old traditional wheat, spelts, everything like that, perfect. Their tomatoes, that pomodoro, tomatoes, italiano, they're really Italian. And their cheese made from their own milk. So when they serve that in that Umbria veranda, in the state of Umbria, you know, this little Italian nice place, you're just like, Krishna, wow, this is an experience I wanted to have. And then you go to the kirtan room, and the kirtaniers are fired up. And they do such lovely kirtans. So cows, kirtans, and pizza. Or cows, kirtan, and books. So many different triangles that we could do. The world would surrender at our feet if we had an ecological solution. And we have it. We just need to articulate it. And it's being articulated. It's not being communicated. Now it's the time to communicate that mission. And there's ecological groups coming up. There's groups wanting to live together in a farm. We live together in London. Why can't we clutch together in a farm and live together? What's holding us? You know, we're intelligent enough to buy a big mansion in London. Why can't we put us to get together in a little setup? All the groups are doing, the Christians are doing. They're selling their places in Australia. And we know this because they sold to the Hare Krishnas, to buy a farm in America to put all their congregation members together. They have understood. That's the future, to put our congregations together in safe environments. Because then they're protected. That was Prabhupada's vision for the farms. And there you have all kinds of skills. You have people who are computer wallahs. They'll continue to be computer wallahs. They're working there. You have kirtaniers, you have leaders, you have musicians, you have artists, writers, you know, you have entrepreneurs, you have kshatriyas, powerful men who protect that state. And you have Brahmins who are enlightened. So that's the next revolution which is coming up. And I'm happy to invite all of you to this new revolution which is happening in ISKCON. So Hare Krishna, end on a sweet note, and everybody should get ready because Krishna is getting ready himself to go out with the cows. Hare Krishna, it was a pleasure to be with all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.